Hello.
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 Quiet, numbskulls. I'm broadcasting.
I want to ask you a bunch of questions. I want to have them answered immediately. First, I would like to just get to know you.
Good day, everyone. This is Dan Sheridan with Cross and Throne Ministries. Our web address is paulsevangel.com. That is paulsevangel.com. We're heralding Paul's Evangel, Paul's Gospel, to the nations. And today I want to talk to you about God's purpose versus man's free will. And I guess I should make a few announcements before we get into that. We have a web address. Again, it's paulsevangel.com. And you can get on there and get some great tools. We are here to help you become a student of the Word of God yourself. The only thing that can possibly save you from apostasy and what's going on in the world today and all the false teaching is the studying of the Word of God yourself. We have companion Bibles and concordant literal New Testaments and some other good materials, so please get in contact with us to get a copy of those things. Also, for my listeners in the South, today, as I record this, we are going to be in the Nashville area on Saturday, March 28th. We will, if you're interested in joining us, please give us a call at 847-312-4676, and we'll be having a meeting in Nashville on Saturday, March 28th. Please let us know if you would like to join us. And we'd be happy to have you to discuss the scriptures. Again, today we're talking about the purpose of God versus man's free will. And what got me thinking about this topic is a couple passages in the letters of Paul and a passage in Isaiah. But before I read some of these passages, I'm going to read to you from a book. It's a concise Bible dictionary put out by the Plymouth Brethren. And for those of you who don't know, I have a background among the Plymouth Brethren, and that is something that I was involved with for a number of years, and through the teachings of J.N. Darby and some of the rest of them. I appreciate some of the background, but some of it I no longer, I just don't agree with, quite frankly, and that's really something, you know, we just because we promote something or we use something doesn't mean that we believe everything that group or person teaches. Our desire is to have truth, and I don't care who says it. Martin Luther has said some great things, and I appreciate Martin Luther. But where he teaches things like God is all finished with the Jewish race, I disagree with him. Where Calvin says some good things, I disagree with him on others. Where A. Enoch says some good things, and where there are other things that I don't like, I stand with the good things. And that goes for anybody. And I'm reading here from the Concise Bible Dictionary, and this is what it says under purpose of God, and I thought this was very well written. It says this, that God has his own purpose before him should ever be remembered. Now pay attention, that God has his own purpose before him should ever be remembered. Now, I want to pause here. Remember, this is not about purpose. I've never read the book Purpose Driven Life, and I really don't plan on it. And I have nothing good to bad to say about it because, one, I never read it, and I just want to say here that this might be a little bit different than what you probably heard about God's purpose. We often talk about the purpose of God as if, I get the impression with a lot of people when they talk about God's purpose for their lives, it really means is how do I make God adjust to what I want to do? And usually that's what people mean when they're trying to search for God's purpose, is that they're trying to make God adjust to their life rather than them adjusting their thinking and the teachings that they hold to what God actually thinks and teaches. And so we need to be careful. We're all guilty of that. I myself am included. I stand with Nehemiah where I can say I and my people have sinned. I recognize that the sins of my fellow believers are my sins as well. But we want the truth. Now, here again, the purpose of God, it reads this, that God has his own purpose before him should ever be remembered. Behind all his outward acts towards his ancient people, Israel, his dealings with the nations of the earth, and his discipline of the saints who form the church, there is his purpose concerning all, and to this purpose everything is made to bend, and towards its accomplishment everything in some way or other, however hidden from the sight of man, is working. Did you guys hear that? Let me repeat this. That God has his own purpose before him should ever be remembered. Friends, remember this. God has his own purpose before him. Behind all his outward acts towards his ancient people Israel, his dealings with the nations of the earth, and his discipline of the saints who form the church, the body of Christ, there is his purpose concerning all. And to this purpose, everything is made to bend. And towards its accomplishment, everything in some way or other, however hidden from the sight of man, is working. In other words, when we look around, we see the good and the bad, the good and the evil all around us. We look at it, and from our perspective, things could be bad or good. But even God works the evil for his good. God has a purpose, and he's working all things towards that purpose. And all things that happen are bending toward that purpose. We are not... In this program, those of us who form Cross and Throne Ministries, we do not believe that God is reactionary. God is not reacting. God is proactive. Now let me continue reading here and in this concise Bible dictionary. And it goes on to quote Isaiah 14. He quotes it here and it says, "The Lord of hosts hath sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass, and as I have purposed, so shall it stand. This is the purpose that is purposed upon the whole earth, and this is the hand that is stretched out upon the nations. For the Lord of hosts hath purposed, and who shall disannul it?" You hear that? If God makes a purpose, if he has a purpose, no man can disannul it. And this goes for prayer, too. We talk about man's free will. We often think, and I think this, and I used to think this way, that if I were to stay up all night in a prayer meeting, I can alter God's purposes. And that's impossible. Can you imagine a woman who has two sons, and both of them have a job? One has a job that requires sunshine, and one has a job that requires rain. Can you imagine if this one son came up to his mother and says, "Mother, I want you to pray for rain today because my job requires it, and it'll help me." And the other son says, "Mother, pray for sunshine today because it'll help me in my job." What's the mother to do? She's to simply say, "I will leave it with the Lord." Friends, you and I cannot stay up all night in a prayer meeting and alter God's purpose. Yes, we are commanded to pray, but notice what Paul says. When we pray, when we make our request known to God, it says, "The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." It doesn't say he's going to give you what you ask. Or everything you ask for. Now, I know there are other passages in Matthew we can quote, but we have to take those from our perspective. Prayer changes us. It does not change God. And so we have to keep that in mind. Now, notice what else. I'm going to continue quoting. "It is not a purpose formed because of a..." Now, listen to this again. I stopped in the middle of the quotation here because this is so important. Pay attention. "It is not a purpose formed because events have turned out as they have in the world's history, but the events that have happened serve to bring about God's purpose, and his purpose is an eternal purpose. This is more fully revealed, though not more certain, when the church is spoken of. He worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, according to the eternal purpose," or literally the purpose of the ages, "which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord." Ephesians 1:11, Ephesians 3:11. Did you hear what he just said here? God doesn't form his purpose because events have turned out the way they have in history. But the events have happened the way they have happened to serve bringing about God's purpose. And his purpose is a purpose that is the purpose of the ages. Did you hear that? Isn't that comforting? Some think that the teaching of God's sovereignty is not comforting. Can you tell me that you're comfortable with the idea that everything that happens, God is just running around the universe, as my friend Martin Zender put it, putting out fires? How can you live and wake up every day thinking that this world is just running its own course, and God is out there trying to fix it to make sure his plans come to pass? What kind of God is that? What kind of God is it that is reactionary rather than proactive? How can God ever work all things after the counsel of his own will if he's just running around putting out fires and man somehow can thwart his purposes? In Ephesians 1:11, the Apostle Paul says this, "In whom also we, speaking of members of the body of Christ, have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will." Now, how can he possibly work all things after the counsel of his own will if everything is just running without any purpose? How can God work all things to bring about his purpose, whether it's for Israel, the nations, or the body of Christ, if he's not in control of them? God is sovereign. And we just read in Isaiah 14, that if he's purposed, no man can disannul it. Now, I'm going to read you something very interesting in the concordant version, and the key word concordance for the word purpose. It's the Greek word that literally means before placing. It's made up of the word before and placing. And he says here, literally applied to the cakes of bread in the holy place, the showbread. What's showbread? Showbread that's just placed out there for you to look at. So figuratively, he says, it's a goal kept before the mind. God has a goal in his mind, and he is going to bring it about through his power. And in 2 Timothy chapter 1, this is a comforting thought in a day of apostasy, and these are the days we're now living in. Paul says this. Paul says, speaking of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, there's man's free will, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Paul is writing at a time where he's suffering. In 2 Timothy, you're going to read that all those which be in Asia have turned away from Paul. They forsook him. But Paul says here in 2 Timothy 1, don't worry about it, Timothy. The God's purpose was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. So our present afflictions can never alter the God's purpose and grace, which he had placed before himself in Christ Jesus. And he gave it to us in Christ Jesus before the world began. So we have before the world began, and Paul looks forward to that future day. And how can Paul be sure that God was going to fulfill his promises unless God is going to work all things after the counsel of his own will? So remember this very important lesson. God's purpose is not formed because events have turned out as they have in the world's history, but the events that have happened serve to bring about God's purpose, and his purpose is an eternal purpose. Everything, all events, are made to bend towards the accomplishment of God's purpose. Think about that. This is Dan Sheridan, and our web address is paulsevangel.com. If you have questions, please go there, and remember, we're going to be in Nashville on March 28th. Give us a call at 847-312-4676 if you would like to join us. We got to run, folks.
Well, sister, the time has come for me to ride hard and fast.
I'll be back.
See you next time.